I'm Devin Skeets of the Buffalo Buttes, and you are listening to the Experience Hockey Talk.
The Total Kilt Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland, comes at a Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Total Kilt Girls. For more information on the Total Kilt in Frederick, Maryland, visit them on Facebook today. And today is January 2nd, 2016, the second day of the new year, and we're going to hop right into it to take a look at back at the week that was for the Washington Capitals, starting off with December 26th against the Montreal Canadiens. The lineup for the Caps was Alex Ovechkin with Nicholas Backstrom and T.J. Oshie, Marcus Johansson with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, Jason Chimera with Jay Beagle and Tom Wilson, Brooks Like with Michael Latta and Andre Burakovsky. On defense was Nate Schmidt with John Carlson, Carl Alzner with Matt Niskanen, Dmitry Orlov with Taylor Chorney, and Braden Holtby starting in the net. In the first period, Jeff Petrie was called for tripping at 3:26, followed by Evgeny Kuznetsov's goal, his 11th of the season, at 6:45, assisted by Nate Schmidt, his 4th of the season, and Marcus Johansson, his 13th assist of the season. Then Tom Wilson and Jared Tenorti both got 5-minute majors for fighting at 12:12, and then Daniel Carr was called for interference at 13:26, and then Nate Schmidt was called for delay of game at 18:23. At the end of the first period, the Washington Capitals were up 1-0 over Montreal. The shots were 10-5 in favor of Washington. The faceoffs were 14-3 in favor of Montreal. Hits were 9-6 in favor of the Capitals. And for the power play, the Montreal Canadiens ended the period with their first one in progress, and the Capitals were 0-2. After coming off a 4-day break for both of these teams, both were looking to get their groove going. Despite scoring the only goal of the period, the Caps can do much better, both in faceoff circle, where they only won 3 of 17 faceoffs for the period, and on the power play. Going into the second period at 1:30 into the second, Jay Beagle scored his 5th of the season from Tom Wilson, his 7th, and Jason Chimera his 10th. And then at 1:54, immediately after, Daniel Carr scored his 4th goal of the season from Andrei Markov and Alex Galchenyuk, their 18th and 16th assists of the season, respectively. Then at 17:39, Nicholas Backstrom was called for slashing. At the end of the second period, the Washington Capitals were up 2-1. Shots were 28-21 in favor of Washington. Faceoffs were 25-13 in favor of Montreal. Hits were 13-10 in favor of Washington, and both teams were 0-2 on the power play. This was a better second period for the Caps than the first was. They generated more shots on goal and created many great scoring chances. Mike Condon is coughing up rebounds left and right, and the Caps need to take advantage of these rebounds and build their lead. Also, PK Subban should be disciplined under the diving embellishment rule. He was never slashed or touched by Nicholas Backstrom on the slashing penalty at the end of the period, and nothing came out of it unless he probably did get warned by the league, which means next time he does something like that would be the $2,000 fine. Going into the third period, Paul Byron was called for embellishment at 5:55, and then Brooks Orpik was called for interference at 5:55. Then Jason Chimera scored his 10th goal of the season from Tom Wilson and Nate Schmidt, 8th and 5th assists respectively for both those guys for the season, at 11:15. At the end of the game, it was Washington 3, Montreal 1. Shots were 33-30 in favor of Washington. Faceoffs were 33-25 in favor of Montreal. Hits were 22-16. In favor of Washington, and both teams were 0-2 on the power play. Overall, a good first game back from the holiday break. After a sluggish first, the Caps were able to get into a groove and dictate the pace of the game. Tom Wilson had a really solid game, earning 2 assists and having a fight with Caps alumni Mark Tenorti's son Jared. Overall, a solid game and great win for getting back to work. Then on December 28th, the Washington Capitals were at the Buffalo Sabres. The lineup for the Washington Capitals was Alex Ovechkin with Nicholas Backstrom and TJ Oshie, Marcus Johansson with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, Jason Chimura with Jay Beagle and Tom Wilson. Brooks Like was with Michael Latta and Andrei Burakovsky on the fourth line. Due to a change because of Carlson being a late game scratch due to lower body injury, the defensive pairings became Alzner with Niskanen, Orlov with Schmidt, Connor Carrick with Taylor Chorney, with Braden Holtby starting in the net. In the first period, the only thing that happened was Mike Weber was called for interference at 5:17. At the end of the first, the Washington Buffalo tied at 0 each. Shots were 10-9 in favor of Buffalo. Faceoffs were 10-8 in favor of Buffalo. Hits were 11-5 in favor of Buffalo. The Caps were 0-1 on the power play, and Buffalo did not have any. This was an okay period for the Caps. You could tell that not having John Carlson in the lineup is having its effect on the team this period, especially when they were all in the power play. The Caps need to focus, play their game, and get more physical and get more shots on goal. Then in the second period, at 19 seconds into the period, Alex Ovechkin scored his 18th of the season from Nicholas Backstrom and TJ Oshie, their 22nd and 10th of the season, respectively. Then at 5:57, Jay Beagle was called for slashing. Then at 10:49, Michael Latta and Nicholas DeLores were both called for 5 minutes for fighting. Then at 12:55, Jay Beagle scored his 6th of the season from Tom Wilson, which was his 9th assist of the season. Then Taylor Chorney was called for interference at 14:10. Washington would then go into the second intermission with the 2-0 lead. Shots were 22-16 in favor of Buffalo. Faceoffs were 19-18 in favor of Buffalo. And hits were 18-12 in favor of Buffalo. Both teams were, the Caps were 0-1 and Buffalo was 0-2 on the power play. This was a much better period for the Caps despite being outshot for the second period in a row. The Caps capitalized on the Sabres' mistakes and on the lucky bounces to get a 2-0 lead. The Caps need to have another quick start to build on their lead and continue making the Sabres make mistakes on the ice. And then per the Capitals' PR, Michael Latta became questionable to return to the game due to an upper body injury as a result of the fight that he was in. And then in the third period, Tom Wilson was called for interference at 7:50, and which would lead the Capitals to win the game 2-0 over the Buffalo Sabres. Shots were 31-26 in favor of Buffalo, faceoffs were 30-24 in favor of Buffalo, and hits were 21-20 in favor of Buffalo. The Caps were 0-1 on the power play, and the Sabres were 0-3. This was a good, tough win for the Caps. They were able to clog things up to make it difficult for the Sabres, and Braden Holtby came up huge when they needed him. And with that, we're going to go to break. Now, breaks are going to be a little bit different this episode. Yesterday, I was at the Tilted Kilt in Frederick, Maryland for the Winter Classic, and during the game, I was recording the news and notes of the game, the statistics. So each break for this episode will be a period of the Winter Classic. So without further ado, we're going to go to break, and you're going to listen to me break down the lineups for the Montreal Canadiens and Boston Bruins and the first period. And then after that, we'll be back with the NWHL report. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey fans. This is Michael Lindebaum here, and we are at the Tilted Kilt, Frederick Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilted Kilt girls. For more information on Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And today is January 1st, 2016, and it is the day of the NHL Winter Classic pitting the Montreal Canadiens versus the Boston Bruins. And we are going to go right into it with the lineups for the Boston Bruins. You have Louis Erickson with Patrice Bergeron and Seth Griffith, Matt Bolesky with Ryan Spooner and Brett Connolly, Frank Vetrano with Landon Ferraro and Alex Kokolkev, Zach Rinaldo with Max Talbot and Jimmy Hayes. On defense, you have Zdeno Chara with Dennis Seiberg, Torrey Krug with Adam McQuaid, Joe Morrow with Kevin Miller. And then in net, you have Tuukka Rask. And then for the Montreal Canadiens, you have Max Pacioretty with Tomas Plekanec and Brandon Gallagher, Lars Eller with Alex Galchenyuk and Daniel Carr, Tomas Fleischmann with David Desharnais and Dale Weiss, Brian Flynn and Torrey Mitchell with Paul Byron. On defense, you have Nathan Beliveau with PK Subban, Andre Markov with Jeff Petrie, and Alexei Yemelin with Mark Barbaro. And in net, you have Mike Condon. And going into the first period of this game, it started off quick and it started off with a goal for the Montreal Canadiens at 1:14 into the game when David Desharnais scored his 8th goal of the season from Dale Weiss with his 9th assist and Alexei Yemelin with his 3rd assist of the season. The goal was scored when Dale Weiss threw the puck in front of the net, bounced around. Desharnais got a tip on it and then was also eventually knocked into the net by the Boston defender. Then later on, at 5:20, Max Talbot was called for high sticking. On this power play, Montreal took advantage of it but were not able to get it in the net. And also, Boston was able to do a good job of killing some time when they're able to create the opportunities. Then some rough stuff happened, as both Tory Krug and David Desharnais were both called for roughing double minors at 8:42 when you had a melee in front of the net when Desharnais was crashing to get a shot on net on Tuukka Rask. Then Adam McQuaid got 2 minutes for delay of game at 18:29, which that power play is still going to be in progress when the second period starts. At the end of the first period, Montreal is up 1-0 over the Bruins. Shots are 14-3 in favor of Montreal. Faceoffs 18-12 in favor of Montreal. Hits 20-8 in favor of Boston. And for the power play, the Canadiens are 0-1 with their second currently and still in progress. And Boston has not had a power play opportunity at this time. For the Montreal Canadiens, they are flat out dominating this game. They're dominating in the faceoff circle, which is creating opportunities for them right off the bat. They're out shooting Boston 14-3. Which nobody would have thought that would be happening right now. The only thing that Boston has going for them right now is that they are out-hitting the Montreal Canadiens. But at the same time, Boston is also taking a lot of penalties. You know, Talbot for the high sticking, McQuaid for the delay of game. They can't afford to be taking these penalties with the Canadiens. On the other hand, the Canadiens need to just settle things down, stop going for the passes, and go for more shots. You know that the ice is chippy. You know the ice is not going to be at its best, being how it's an outdoor game rather than what you normally get in your regular arenas. You have to settle the puck, get the shots on net, and just go for the garbage, because you know that when the rebounds come, they're going to be bouncing all over the place. And same for Boston. Boston needs to kick their game into a second gear, because if this keeps going the way it is, the only thing that's going to try to keep them in the game is Tuukka Rask. And so Boston needs to pick up their style of play. They need to get more shots on goal. They need to get back to playing their system, in a sense, and they need to get shots on goal. Having only 3 shots in the first period is not going to cut it to get goals on the board. So with that, we are going to go on break. When we come back, it'll be the second intermission break. And with that, we'll be back.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans, and it is now time for the NWHL Report, which is brought to you by AwesomeCon. AwesomeCon, which is June 3rd through 5th, 2016, at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, Marina Baccarin, and many others. For more information, please visit awesome-con.com. And in the NWHL this past week, on 12-27, you had the Boston Pride versus the Connecticut Whale. Emily Fields' goal with 4:15 left in the third period helped Boston end Connecticut's 8-game winning streak and drew the Pride to within 2 points of the top spot in the NWHL standings. Brittany Ott made 33 saves on 34 shots, while Nicole Stock made 26 saves for the Whale in their 2-1 loss. Boston managed to pick up the win despite dressing 12 skaters, including general manager Haley Moore, who signed a one-day contract. Several members of the Pride, including Hillary Knight, Brianna Decker, and Gigi Marvin, are currently participating in a USA World Hockey World Championship selection camp. Also on 12-27, the New York Riveters versus the Buffalo Buttes, Megan Fartleman notched the first hat-trick in Riveters history as New York won their first NWHL game following their trip to Japan. Janine Weber and Ludmilla Belikova both scored a pair of goals in the Riveters' 7-3 victory over the Buttes. Kelly Stemmons scored Buffalo's first goal, which led to the several hundred teddy bears being thrown on the ice as part of the Buttes' teddy bear toss game. Devin Skeets and Courtney Kunichka also scored in the loss. Members of the Washington Capitals, including Tom Wilson, Michael Latta, and Andrei Burakovsky, were in attendance for the game. On 12-28, the National Hockey League announced that the National Women's Hockey League's Boston franchise will face the Montreal franchise of the Canadian Women's Hockey League in a historic meeting during the 2016 Bridgestone NHL Winter Classic festivities at Gillette Stadium. The first game between the two leagues, dubbed the Outdoor Women's Classic presented by Scotiabank, will take place on December 31st at 2 p.m. On 12-29, the NWHL announced that New York Riveters forward Megan Fartleman has been named Player of the Week. Fartleman scored 3 goals in New York's 7-3 victory over Buffalo, marking the first hat-trick in Riveters history. 2 of the 3 tallies came in during an 11-minute stretch in New York when New York turned a 1-1 tie into a 5-1 game. An empty netter with 1:52 left capped the afternoon's scoring. As an alum of Boston College, Fartleman will also join the Boston Pride for the first ever Outdoor Women's Classic. Now, right about now, we'd be having Megan Fartleman on right now to not only talk about being Player of the Week and the Riveters, but also talk about the outdoor game. Unfortunately, again, because it's the holiday time, we are now getting past that. Hopefully, starting next week, we will be doing the Player of the Week on the show again every week. Then going on to 12:31, the Boston Pride and the Les Canadiens tied 1-1 in the Outdoor Women's Classic. However, during this historic game, Boston Pride forward Deanna Lang was injured. When info comes out on Lang's injury, we will report on that. Standings for the NWHL. In first place, the Connecticut Whale at 8-1-0 at 16 points. Second place, Boston Pride with 7-3-0 record at 14 points. Third place, the New York Riveters at 3-5-1 with 7 points. And at fourth place, the Buffalo Buttes with a 1-7-2 record with 4 points. On tap in the NWHL, on January 3rd at 3 p.m., the Buffalo Buttes versus the Boston Pride at the Bright Landry Center. And at 7 p.m., the Connecticut Whale versus New York Riveters at the Aviator Sports and Events Center. For more information on the NWHL, go to nwhl.co and follow them on Twitter at NWHL underscore. And now we're going to go to break. This break will be the second period of the Montreal Canadiens-Boston Bruins game in the Winter Classic. And after that, we'll be back with more Caps game breakdowns. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans from the Tilted Kilt in Frederick, Maryland for the NHL Winter Classic against the Montreal Canadiens and the Boston Bruins at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. And in the second period, we had the Montreal Canadiens going into the period up 1-0. And to start off the second period, they scored another quick one at 2 minutes into the period when Paul Byron scored his sixth of the season from Brian Flynn, his sixth of the season for assist, and Mark Barberio, his first assist of the season. Then at 2:51, Boston player Kevin Miller was called for cross-checking. And then at 6:43, Lars Eller was called for hooking. And then at 10:41, Montreal took their second penalty when Nathan Beliveau was called for holding. And then at 17:20, Brendan Gallagher scored a very nice tip up in the front of the net shot from midair for his 10th of the season from Max Pacioretty, who's 15th of the season, and Thomas Plekanec, his 21st of the season at 7:20. And then Thomas Plekanec was called for delay of game at 19:30 at the end of the second period. So for Montreal, they're up 3-0 going into the third period. Shots are 25-17 in favor of Montreal, which saw Boston get 14 shots to the Montreal's 11. Faceoffs are 27-23 in favor of Montreal. Hits are 27-11 in favor of Boston. Montreal is 0-3 on the power play, with Boston being 0-2 on the power play, with their third in progress right now. And with that said, this was a very penalty-filled period once again. And, of course, two goals from the Montreal Canadiens. Paul Byron getting it by crashing the net, getting the rebound, and diving for the shot to get it in the net. And then, of course, for Brendan Gallagher, he got a very nice rebound in the middle of the air, just hit it, tips it top shelf on Tuukka Rask for the third goal of the game and his first game in the game and first game back since his hand injury. For the Boston Bruins, they need to keep up their pace. It's good to see that they're getting more shots on net now. They need to continue that, but they need to get some better quality shots at the same time. Also, they need to stay out of the penalty box. Yes, the last three penalties have been on Montreal, but Boston is playing with a tendency where they probably should be getting called for penalties here and there for certain things, like when Zdeno Chara face-washed and palmed Brendan Gallagher and brought him down to the ice. Then also for the Montreal Canadiens, what they need to do in the third period is they need to just keep up the pressure, need to cut down the cutesy plays. Problems that both teams are having on the power plays, they're both looking for the pass. You need to stop looking for the pass in this type of game, and you just need to go for the shot. I mean, look at Byron's goal. It was a rebound. It was right in front of the net, and it was garbage goal. Then you got Brendan Gallagher, another rebound, which he got in midair to get it in the net. You know, same with David Desharnais in the first period. It was a rebound goal that was scored in front of the net. That's how you're going to get the goals in this game. And you got to keep plugging away at that. And Boston hasn't really shown that, whereas Montreal has, and that's why Montreal's up 3-0. But yeah, both teams need to start cutting down the passing. The third period is going to get chippy in regards to the puck and the ice surface, so you can expect the puck to be bouncing a lot more. So trying to hit those crisp passes are not going to be
as expected in a regular game. So with that, Montreal's up 3-0, going into the third period, and with that, we're going to go to break.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans. It is now time for more Caps game breakdown, starting with December 30th with the Buffalo Sabres at the Washington Capitals. Lineup for the Caps was Alexander Ovechkin with Nicholas Backstrom and TJ Oshie, Marcus Johansson with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, Jason Schmier with Jay Beagle and Tom Wilson, Brooks Lake with Zach Sill and Andre Burakovsky, Carl Alsner with Matt Niskanen, Nate Schmidt with Dmitry Orlov, and Taylor Twiney with Connor Carrick. Braden Holtby was your starter in net. In the first period, Alexander Ovechkin was called for roughing 27 seconds into the game, and then Brian Gionta scored his fourth goal of the season from Jack Eichel and Zygmunt Jurgensen, their 10th and 4th of the season, respectively, at 5:48. Tyler Ennis was called for tripping at 12:10, and then both Zach Bogosian and Tom Wilson were called for roughing at 17:30. However, Tom Wilson was given a double minor. At the end of the first period, Buffalo was up 1-0. Shots were 14-11 for the Caps. Faceoffs were 12-10 for the Caps, and hits were 8-5 for the Caps. Buffalo was 0-2 on the power play, and Washington 0-1. A good period for the Caps. Didn't help that the Sabres got the only goal of the period, but the Caps are doing some of the little things right. Caps need to stay out of the box and play their game. Then in the second period, Buffalo player Johan Larsson was called for hooking at 5:55, and then at 14:08, Justin Williams scored his 11th of the season unassisted. Then at 18:53, Zygmunt Jurgensen would score his 3rd of the season from Jack Eichel, his 11th assist of the season. Buffalo would go into the second intermission with a 2-1 lead. Shots were 28-19 for Washington. Faceoffs were 20-16 for Buffalo. Hits were 19-10 for Washington, and both teams were 0-2 on the power play. This was a better period for the Caps. They were able to control more of the play and were able to tie up the game on Justin Williams' goal. However, Buffalo was able to retake the lead in the final minutes of the period. The Caps need to cut down the passes and shoot the puck. Passing one in the slot area is not going to score goals. Also, during the second intermission, per Capitals PR, Jay Beagle sustained an upper body injury and will not return. Beagle will be reevaluated on 12/31, which I'll have in news and notes. And then Nicholas Backstrom, also questionable to return due to upper body injury. In the third period, Alex Ovechkin scored his 19th of the season from Evgeny Kuznetsov and TJ Oshie, their 21st and 11th of the season, respectively, at 1:24 into the third. Then at 3:44, Marcus Johansson was called for boarding. Then at 4:54, Evander Kane was called for tripping. Then at 5:15, Ovechkin was called for high sticking. Then at 7:26, Evander Kane was called for hooking. Then on the power play, at 8:32, Marcus Johansson scored his 8th of the season from Evgeny Kuznetsov and Matt Niskanen, their 22nd and 12th assists of the season, respectively. Then at 9:56, Andre Burakovsky scored his 3rd goal of the season from Marcus Johansson, his 14th assist of the season. Then, with the empty net wide open at 18:47, Alex Ovechkin netted his 20th of the season unassisted. Washington would then go on to win the game 5-2. Shots were 43-27 in favor of Washington. Faceoffs were 33-30 in favor of Buffalo. Hits were 24-12 in favor of Washington. On the power play, Buffalo was 0-4 and the Caps were 1-3. This was another great comeback for the Caps, especially after losing key players in Backstrom and Beagle. The Caps had to step up and come back in this game. Evgeny Kuznetsov created opportunities for the Caps as he set up 2 of the goals, and Marcus Johansson also was a big factor in the game as well, with a goal and an assist. Which then leads us into the final game of the week for the Washington Capitals, 12-31 against the Carolina Hurricanes in Carolina. The lineup for the Capitals was Ovechkin with Backstrom and Oshie, Johansson with Kuznetsov and Williams, Schmera with Zach Sill and Tom Wilson, Lake with Latta and Burakovsky, Alsner with Niskanen, Orlov and Schmidt, Taylor Chorney with Connor Carrick on defense, with Philip Grubauer in the net. In the first period, only thing that happened was Evgeny Kuznetsov being called for hooking at 15:31. Washington goes into the first intermission tied 0-0. Shots were 11-8 in favor of Carolina. Faceoffs were 10-10 apiece. Hits were 13-12 for Carolina. On the power play, Washington did not have any, and Carolina was 0-1. This was a slow-moving, boring period, but it was also a good period for the Caps as they got into the second period still tied at 0. Grubauer has been solid, and the Caps are very good on the penalty kill. The Caps need to get through the Hurricanes' defensive structure to get better quality scoring chances on net. Then going into the second period, Dmitry Orlov was called for elbowing at 4:16. That Tom Wilson was called for roughing at 5:49, along with Andre Nestrasil at 5:49 as well. Carolina then scored at 7:48 when Philip DiGiuseppe scored his third of the season from Jakob Nordstrom and Jordan Staal. Nicholas Backstrom would then respond with a goal at 9:49 with his 11th of the season from Carl Alsner and Matt Niskanen in their 8th and 13th assists of the season, respectively. Then Tom Wilson was called for goalie interference at 11:06. At the end of the second period, Washington and Carolina were tied at 1. Shots were 26-21 in favor of Carolina. Faceoffs were 23-16 in favor of Washington. Hits were 24-18 in favor of Washington. Washington did not have a power play yet again, and Carolina was 0-3. The start of the second period was very horrible for the Caps, but after Carolina got on the board to break the 0-0 tie, it lit a fire under the Caps and they came alive. The key for the Caps going into the third is they need to continue riding the momentum they're on, stay out of the penalty box, and draw some penalties so they can get their power play out on the ice. And going into the third period, 51 seconds into the period, Erik Staal scored his 8th of the season from Elias Lindholm and Chris Versteeg. Then at 5:16, Jeff Skinner scored his 15th of the season from Riley Nash and Victor Rask. Then at 14:16, Alexander Ovechkin scored his 21st goal of the season from Brooks Like, his 4th assist of the season. Then with the empty net at 19:42, Andre Nestrasil scored his 4th goal of the season. At the end of the game, Carolina won 4-2, ending the Washington Capitals winning streak at 9. Shots were 37-32 in favor of Carolina. Faceoffs were 30-28 in favor of Carolina. Hits were 35-27 in favor of Washington. Washington had no power plays the entire game, and Carolina was 0-3. This is a game the Caps should have won, but they didn't play a full 60 minutes. The Hurricanes outplayed the Caps and controlled the majority of the game. Playing the second game of a back-to-back showed its fatigue during the game, plus missing veterans Jay Beagle, John Carlson, and Brooks Orpik showed as well. And with that, we're going to go to commercial break, which will be the third period information on the Winter Classic game between the Boston Bruins and the Montreal Canadiens. And with that, when we come back, we'll be doing NHL news and notes.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk from the Tilted Kilt Frederick for the Winter Classic. And going into the third period, the Montreal Canadiens were up 3-0. And now in the third, Matt Beleski of the Boston Bruins scored his 8th of the season from Adam McQuaid and Ryan Spooner, their 6th and 17th respectively of the season at 3:54. Then Montreal got one right back at 8:49 when Max Pacioretty scored his 16th of the season from Brendan Gallagher and Tomas Blekanec, their 11th and 22nd assists of the season respectively as well. Then at 9:24, Max Talbot was called for holding. And then immediately after that, at 18:18, Jimmy Hayes and Lars Eller were both called for roughing, both of which were double minors. Then at 18:28, 10 seconds after the rough stuff, Paul Byron scored his 7th of the season and 2nd of the game, assisted by P.K. Subban and Nathan Beaulieu, their 26th and 10th assists of the season, respectively, as well. Montreal Canadiens would go on to win the game 5-1. Shots were 30-28 in favor of Montreal, with faceoffs being 42-36 in favor of Montreal. Hits were 29-18 in favor of Boston, and the power play was 0-4 and 0-3 for Montreal and Boston, respectively. For this game, the rough stuff was starting to show, and you could really see the rivalry come out. And with Dale Weiss being out for the remainder of the game for the Montreal Canadiens, there obviously was going to be some line juggling that had to happen on the Canadiens' part. But they didn't let it hold them down. And for their efforts, even though, yes, Matt Beleski got the one goal to start the period early, the Montreal Canadiens responded right back by getting another one to up their lead back to 3. For the rough stuff, double minors of roughing, Jimmy Hayes, in my honest opinion, should have gotten a 5-minute major for fighting. He dropped his gloves, he threw punches, and same at the end. At the very end of the game, when the game was over, the final horn blown, there was some rough stuff that happened, which no penalties came about that. But Zach Rinaldo dropped his glove and started pounding on the Montreal Canadian. How is that not a penalty? You know, you gotta control that stuff. But overall, this has been a game that was dominated by Montreal from start to finish. As soon as they got their third goal, or the three-goal lead back after Beleski scored, they pretty much took the game and put it into a cycle motion. They put it along the boards. They made it tough for the Bruins to get out of their own zone. This was an overall great effort by the Montreal Canadiens, a well-deserved win for the Montreal Canadiens, but at the same time, hats off to the Boston Bruins for being great hosts for this Winter Classic in Foxborough at Gillette Stadium. overall, it was a good game to watch. It was fun. But until then, we'll have to wait another year for another Winter Classic, which is being rumored to be in Toronto for 2017. So with that, I am going to sign off. This has been the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey Fan. You can follow us on Twitter at Experience Hockey and on Facebook at facebook.com/Experience Hockey Talk. And of course, as always, we are brought to you by the Tilt Kilt, where we are at live right now, where Tilt Kilt Pub and Eatery, located 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland, come to the Celtic themed sports pub featuring the world famous Tilt Kilt Girls. For more on the Tilt Kilt in Frederick, Maryland, visit them on Facebook today.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey Fans, and it's now time for news and notes. And starting with December 26th, facing a 3-1 deficit in the third period, the Buffalo Sabres scored 5 unanswered goals, a 2 each from Jack Eichel and Ryan O'Reilly to rally past the Boston Bruins. Then on 12-27, the Calgary Flames overcame a 3-1 deficit via 4 unanswered goals to post their franchise record 11th consecutive home win and defeat the Edmonton Oilers 5-3. Connor Hellebuyck turned aside all 30 shots faced, and Brian Little scored the only goal of the contest on a first-period penalty shot to help the Winnipeg Jets defeat the Pittsburgh Penguins 1-0 on 12-27. The Jets became the third team in NHL history to earn a 1-0 regulation win with their one goal scored on a penalty shot. Then on 12-28, the Montreal Canadiens acquired goaltender Ben Scrivens from the Edmonton Oilers for forward Zach Cassian. Montreal has been in need of veteran goaltending depth in the absence of Carey Price. This is also a great opportunity for Scrivens, who was the number one goalie for the Oilers last season, but when the new regime came in, it was relegated to the AHL. Scrivens has a great opportunity to reestablish himself as an NHL goaltender, and not only that, but have an opportunity to play in a bigger market and prove that he is worthy of being an NHL starter. Then on 12-28, the NHL Three Stars of the Week ending 12-27 were announced. First star was Johnny Gaudreau, forward of the Calgary Flames. Second star was Antti Niemi, goalie of the Dallas Stars. And third star was Tyler Bozak, forward of the Toronto Maple Leafs. On 12-28, Boston Bruins center David Krejci is listed as week-to-week with an upper body injury. Krejci was injured in a collision with Ottawa Senators forward Bobby Ryan near the end of the second period of the Senators' 3-1 home win on Sunday. Also on 12-28, Jonathan Quick made 27 saves to pick up his 40th career shutout in the Pacific Division, leading Los Angeles Kings to a 5-0 win against the Vancouver Canucks. Quick moved into a tie with John Van Beesbrouck and Frank Brimsek for the most shutouts in NHL history by a U.S.-born goaltender. On 12-30, Teemu Selanne, one of Finland's most popular sports figures, had his number 8 national team jersey retired prior to Finland's game against Slovakia at the 2016 IIHF World Junior Championship. Selanne in all played 193 games with the Finnish national team starting December 28, 1985 at the 1985 Under-16 Four Nations Tournament. He played in 6 Olympics, helping Finland win silver in 2006 and bronze in 1998, 2010, and 2014. At age 43 at the 2014 Sochi Olympics, Selanne was named the tournament's outstanding player. Selanne had 43 points in 37 games at the Olympics, more than any other player. He also helped Finland win a silver and bronze in 5 appearances at the IIHF World Championship, and he also played in 2 World Cups. On 12-30, the St. Louis Blues placed forward Scott Gomez on unconditional waivers in order to grant him his release. All at the time when he was brought in, there was a lot of injuries on the team. Now, a lot of those guys are coming back healthy, so Scott Gomez has asked for his release to pursue playing for another team. On 12-30, the Boston Bruins forward Brad Marchand has been suspended for 3 games without pay for clipping Ottawa Senators defenseman Mark Borowiecki in Boston on Tuesday. The NHL's Department of Player Safety announced the incident occurred at 8:41 of the first period. Marchand is considered a repeat offender, was suspended for 5 games a few seasons ago, also for clipping, under the terms of the CBA, and based on his average annual salary, will forfeit $164,634.15. On 12-31, Washington Capitals center Jay Beagle will need surgery for an upper body injury sustained in the second period of a 5-2 win against the Buffalo Sabres at Verizon Center on Wednesday night. Beagle will be out an extended amount of time, but the severity is unknown at this time. And then on 12/31, Columbus Blue Jackets forward Matt Calvert sustained a knee sprain Tuesday against the Dallas Stars and will miss 4 weeks. On 12/31, Vancouver Canucks forward Jannik Hansen has been fined $2,000 as supplementary discipline under NHL Rule 64, diving and embellishment. And on January 1st, the Florida Panthers announced that Executive Vice President General Manager Dale Talon has signed a multi-year contract extension. And the road ahead for the Washington Capitals: on today, January 2nd at 7 p.m., they'll be at the Columbus Blue Jackets, who are 14-22-3 with 31 points. Then on the 5th at 7 p.m. at the Boston Bruins, who are 20-13-4 with 44 points. And on the 7th, which is Thursday at 7 p.m. at the New York Islanders, who are 21-12-5 with 47 points. Obviously, big games up ahead. Columbus is a team that's at the bottom of the barrel right now. This is a team you have to beat to continue to get back on your winning ways and to continue building up points on your division and conference lead. The Boston Bruins is going to be a team that's going to be looking to want to win after being embarrassed at the Winter Classic 5-1 by the Montreal Canadiens. And the New York Islanders is the team that is behind the Washington Capitals, and obviously with them being the second place team in the division, the Capitals would like to continue getting more points to build up their lead over the teams like the Islanders and the Rangers. And with that, this has been the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for the serious hockey fans, and we have been brought to you by the Tilde Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. Tilde Kilt Pub in Erie, located 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilde Kilt Girls. For more information on the Tilde Kilt in Frederick, Maryland, visit them on Facebook today. And, of course, you can follow us on Twitter at ExperienceHockey and Facebook at facebook.com/ExperienceHockeyTalk. And with that, I am out, and next time, we'll see you on the ice.